the trick is the secret ingredient.
Whiskey?
Yeah. It's such a great sound.
Especially at 10:49 in the morning.
It's 5:49 somewhere.
So let's start this thing. So I'm going to play.
You're going to play some music?
A song.
You're going to start to turn it down a little bit. When you start to turn it down, that's what I'm going to.
Oh, I could use the touch bar on my little Mac here.
Oh, does it have a slider? Ooh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, I remember. We were going to do my creepy going through the desert playlist.
Yes.
Let me pull something from that. This playlist is called North on Hinkley. Creepy going through the desert music.
Do you actually listen to this?
At one spot, yeah. I'm going to use my touch bar. I'm going to slowly turn it down.
There we go. Hey, guys. Welcome to a brand new podcast.
Hey, guys.
Oh, maybe girls. It's probably guys. Anyways.
I was expecting a very exuberant, hey, everybody, but.
I'm not who you think I am. I'm Ryan. This is Jeff over here.
Hello.
And this is Unnecessary.
No one asked for this.
This is a brand new podcast. This is the pilot. We're going to tell you you know, why we exist right now, and I think the answer is boredom, but I'm waiting for Jeff's, why am I hosting this show?
I had to finish fading out.
Oh.
What? Okay, so I like to talk about things in depth. I like to enjoy tangents.
Okay.
One of the great things about Man Room Radio, it is a very concise, predictable show, perfect for a commute. You tune in, you know what you're going to get, for how long you're going to get it.
Yeah, that's the format. Intro, topic, yeah. Get out.
And I think you're in a similar boat where occasionally you just want to chase something.
Every now and again, I want to go to the bottom of the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the format doesn't allow us to do that on Man Room Radio. So it's like, okay, well, we're 6 minutes into this. If we're going to get another topic in, it's time to switch.
Yeah.
And sometimes I want to be like, no, I had so much more to say and think about. So is that why this exists?
Yes, this is an opportunity for us to say and think.
All right. That's unnecessary.
Now you get it.
I get it.
We're full circle.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that was a great episode. So thank you for listening in.
I have to do the thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan, and that was that was Graves by Whiskey Shivers.
No, you're not Ryan. You're Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, that was one of the things for a long time on Man Room. We were just playing music, and one of my friends reached out and was like, hey, you know you can get a lot of copyright trouble for that. So you have to give credit to every artist that you play a song from.
Right. That's on my playlist called North on Hinkley.
Okay, so you said that that's your going through the desert music?
So we have this spot in the middle of the Mojave.
Uh-huh.
It's an old volcano that then filled in with silt over the years and was a lake bed at one point thousands of years ago. And now it's just like this hidden little bowl. You have to go 10 miles on a dirt road to get to this thing. And you can't really see it on the dirt road. You have to pull off and off-road for some time.
Wait, you do this in your car or on your bike? Oh, okay.
My car.
I thought it was a bike ride.
No. Anyway, we come around this bend, this big stack of volcanic rock, and then it opens up into this like 600-yard wide lake bed. And that's where we like skateboard behind trucks, do all that stuff.
Oh, I've seen a couple of your videos.
Yeah, explosives, shoot things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you listen to that song when you make that drive?
When we're driving out there. It's not that song. I've got a whole playlist here. But
how long is this 10-mile drive?
It's about 10 miles.
Okay.
Give or take.
Fair enough. Continue.
But you go through, you go up to Barstow, and then you head west, and you go through this little town called Hinkley.
Okay.
And I don't know why Hinkley exists, or if it technically exists. There are buildings there. Some seem to be new, but I've never seen a person. Everyone's just like hiding inside.
Well, you're just outside of Barstow. Why would you be outside?
Barstow gets a lot of activity.
Yeah,
there's plenty of people walking around in Barstow.
Not Hinkley.
No.
Everybody in Hinckley went to Barstow to hang out.
Yeah. A bunch of broken down buildings that are all spray painted. Several churches, of course.
Well, yeah. In a town like that, you need religion.
There's a desert research center.
Which is a perfect location.
Which sounds pretty boring, right?
Let's research the desert.
Yep. Still sucks.
You see out that window? Yep. All right. We're done for the day. It's still there.
But I I've never seen a person, but if I did, I would imagine it would be like this Hills Have Eyes kind of little hick kid who's like rubbing his belly button with his pinky finger and saying, go get pa as I drive by.
Go get pa.
We got a visitor.
That song and your description of Hinckley reminds me of the show Godless on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw the description, and as soon as I said like a town of all women, I just projected a bunch of like feminist propaganda baggage onto it, made up my mind, and moved on.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that. But then there's also
we can be strong too.
Right, but then there's also like the main woman's like, no, we're women. Like we need men in this town. And this is
controversial.
Yeah, it's set in whatever the 1820s.
Okay.
So it's all super dusty, super Briscoe County Jr., if you remember.
I do.
Yeah.
Western sci-fi.
Yeah. So it's
a
like
lost
that.
Genre.
Sans the sci-fi. But that's what Hinckley sounds like.
Oh, so you mean terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's bad. But the acting in it's pretty good. Hinckley, Godless.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen any people. I'm not convinced anyone actually lives there. Right before you turn off onto the dirt,
mm-hmm.
there's a brand new house. It's for sale.
You can own all of Hinckley if you live here.
I can only imagine that has to be one of those like those government slush contracts, where it's like if you do this thing,
buy you a house.
We'll like give you the bid to buy a house.
Yeah,
and you'll just quadruple price everything and eat all the profit, something like that. Because it's a brand new, it's like a 5-bedroom,
but
like 3,000 square foot thing.
Yeah, but nobody wants to live there.
On the north side of Hinckley, yeah. It's like right next to a junkyard.
A boneyard.
A junkyard and a boneyard are different.
Wait, what's the difference between junkyard and boneyard? Junkyard's cars?
No, junkyards are commercially owned. Boneyard is a private person's collection of various appliances, automobiles, and probably remains of people.
Especially in Hinckley.
Especially in Hinckley.
I had a question and I forgot. But okay, so...
Good. That's good.
So if you lived in that house, you'd have to wake up to that song every day.
I think it just plays over loudspeakers, yeah.
Just everywhere.
Inexplicably permeates the desert.
Ominous sound.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you walk.
You want to hear... I read the wrong name. That's not Graves by Whiskey Shivers.
Good. I'm glad we credited the wrong artist.
That's As Long As I Live by Bruce...
Almighty.
Peninsula?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Peninsula.
Penis Swell.
That's probably it. And the album is Small Town Murder Songs. Not joking.
Here's looking at you, Hinckley. Okay, well, what else do you listen? You don't just listen to that song as you drive through Hinckley, right?
You want to hear the one that we
just
credited?
A clip.
Okay.
Yeah, just a clip. Uh-oh.
Okay, here it goes.
Honestly, I can get into this.
Who's gonna dig these graves? Who's gonna dig these
graves? Now imagine you're going 35 down a dirt road. Your car's bobbing up and down. The bushes next to you are swirling by fast, but everything else is moving in slow.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The horizon never moves.
Right.
Who's gonna dig
you got one hand on the wheel and your head's kind of bobbing because the whole car's shaking,
but the wheel doesn't.
Right.
This is Graves by, what's his name?
Whiskey Shivers.
I could get into that.
On the album Whiskey Shivers.
I could get into that a lot.
Yeah. Do you want some more?
Yes.
Here's,
give me like two more.
Two more?
Okay. Yeah.
Bottom of the River by Delta Ray. Is this podcast just a radio station now?
Maybe.
Where we interrupt it and talk over it?
Bottom of the River by Delta Ray?
Yeah.
Like Ray as in
R-A-E.
Oh, okay.
Down to the bottom of the river, hold my head.
Wow, like the chains.
Ooh, baby,
yeah.
You've made a theme.
Down, a long way down.
Hinckley made a theme.
I manifested it onto a playlist.
The cock's gonna call in the morning.
The cock is gonna call in the morning, baby.
Covered for your daddy's gun. Red sun
rises like an early warning.
The Lord's gonna come. I'm waiting for the beat.
It's coming. You know it's coming.
I know, I'm feeling it.
Like the cock in the morning.
Yes, it is.
Wash him deep where the tides are turning. And if you fall.
Here it comes.
And if you fall. Hold my hand. Ooh, baby, it's a long way down.
I don't like this one as much.
I mean, it doesn't like you either.
I can understand its place, which is Hinckley.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that work in Hinckley that don't work anywhere else.
Yeah.
Except people. No one works in Hinckley.
To answer your question, no, this is not a... we're not going to do a radio show. We're not going to listen to music every episode.
Good.
But I did like looking.
You guys did that on Man Room.
Yeah, we did the turn. We did one episode out of 60 where we listened
to music.
It was
one of my favorites.
It was good.
I told you on that. I got so turnt, I was almost lit.
Yeah.
It was really close to becoming lit.
That was good.
On a few of those songs.
I was really disappointed after that episode because as soon as we stopped recording, like the next five songs.
Oh,
like,
they were all good ones?
They were just bangers.
And you guys are really turnt?
I'm still a little turnt.
Whoa, what was one of them?
I don't remember now.
Since that's what we're doing.
No, we're not doing it. We're not doing
it. Give me songs to look up.
No, I promise this is not what we're going to do.
Okay, I'm spinning the laptop away from me.
Okay, so.
That way I won't be tempted by Spotify.
You're still going to be
tempted. It's allures.
Yeah.
Okay, I've even closed the lid slightly. Hey, should we present our drinks?
Our salads?
Yeah.
Sure.
Present your salad,
Ryan. My salad bowl is empty. This is...
Let me help you out.
Thank you. Oh, I love that sound.
Yep.
This is a unnecessary staple. And a favorite.
It's true.
Kirkland Signature, distilled and matured in Scotland, blended Scotch whiskey.
And me too.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I like your salad bowls.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, Jeff, what do we want to talk about today?
You're the host.
I know.
I made this very clear.
I'm introducing the topic.
By asking what the topic is?
Yeah. Yeah, like my
That's like saying you're introducing yourself by saying, hey, what's my name?
My direction in this right now is I'm going to show up and I'm going to host a show. And
well, you're not doing a very good job.
No, I'm hosting it. Like, I'm introducing, like, what are we going to talk about?
Okay.
But I'm including you in the introduction. You see how
today we're going to talk about forced abortions.
No, we are not going to talk about forced abortions.
This is your passion project.
No, this is not. No,
Ryan is a strong
I will
advocate.
Walk out.
He has modified his van just for this. You should see the utensils.
If you'd seen my van. No. Well, let's
that
talk
wasn't
about
the topic?
No, that wasn't the
well,
topic.
Well, maybe you want to introduce it.
Okay, let's talk about something that I think is very pertinent in today's world. Nosy people.
They keep looking in my van.
They should just keep not looking in
Mind
my van.
Mind your business.
Yeah. Or I should tint my windows, I guess. That way
oh,
they
I
can't.
Okay, I'm going to segue already.
Already?
See, this
the
is
best
the,
segue.
This is the magic of unnecessary.
Yeah.
We're allowed to
All
derail.
All of this is unnecessary. Yeah. Maybe that should have been what we're called. It's just derailed.
So you have a topic called nosy people.
Yeah.
Not that great of a topic.
It was presented to me by my co-host.
I'm not a co-host.
Oh, are you my all-time guest?
I think I'm going to be a recurring guest, hopefully with 100% attendance rate.
Well, I can't do it without you, so.
How could I live without you? So here's a thought. Generational distinctions.
Okay.
This gets thrown around at my office a lot.
Like between millennials and X's and Y's?
Pretty much millennials and everyone else.
Yeah.
There's a couple. I work with a lot of executives on a very close level.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't... Part of being an executive is you have a certain amount of skill points when you're born. And you can put those into a couple categories. They put all of them into categories that don't include, like, social adeptitude.
Okay. So their charisma level is a little low.
Yeah, they're mostly sociopaths.
Okay.
But they're highly effective people. And I don't think they're like evil or anything. Like the usual bag of sociopath, I don't think that applies here. They're just incredibly competitive, driven people who are not that good at small talk.
So, you need to be good at small talk?
No,
to be...
I hate small talk. But yeah. Sometimes it's interesting.
That's
to
why we're doing
observe.
A podcast.
Yes, which is foundationally small talk.
Yeah.
We didn't prepare at all for this.
At all.
I lost my train of thought. You totally derailed me.
Okay,
yeah.
You're sociopaths.
I'm there.
That you work with.
Affectionately known as sociopaths.
Sociopaths.
So around the water cooler, they'll try to strike up a conversation. and they just usually go for the very unimaginative, low-hanging fruit kind of thing, because they're not very good at it.
Like, did you catch the game?
Like, what do you millennials like these days? Those kinds of questions.
Oh, okay.
And I'm 34, so I'm technically a millennial.
It depends on how you look at it. Like, the generations overlap by about 5 or 6 years.
Do they?
And we're in the overlap.
Oh.
Yeah, so we can
identify. I thought it was 82.
No, it's like 82 to 87.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I feel so much better about myself.
So from as early as 82, you could be considered a millennial. Gotcha. But as late as 87, you could be Generation Z? Y?
Why?
Why?
Why are they called that?
That's a great question. I don't know. So but, yeah, there's like a 5 or 6 year overlap.
My understanding was if you turn 18 on the year 2000, you're an adult. In the year 2000, you're a millennial, which would mean 1982.
Yeah.
Range makes more sense to me.
Yeah, because it's not just, I mean, if I turned 18 on January 1, 2000, but mm-hmm. you turned 18 on December 31st, 1999, like we are the same generation. We are 4 hours difference in mm-hmm. age, but we're different generations. That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah. So I think you're hitting on the point I want to make, that these arbitrary, based on date distinctions mm-hmm. are really stupid. And I resent at thought. Like, there's a couple of us who are younger.
Yeah.
And we get lumped in together as the wacky millennials.
Yeah.
And all the stereotypes of millennials do not really apply to me.
Right.
I have the mentality of someone who's, like, born in the 1960s.
Maybe even the 50s.
Maybe the 50s.
But when somebody looks at me and says, oh, well, you know, you're part of that millennial thing. And I'm like, what? Don't you dare assume my generation.
I am not like you.
Yeah, I identify as a Y, not as...
So I have a better one for you.
Okay.
There is, I think, one that actually makes sense when you base it on cultural eras instead of arbitrary years. And
okay.
For us, it would be the Oregon Trail generation.
Oh, okay.
Do you like this already?
I do.
Okay, so here's what it is. If you graduated high school... And I think the subtext there is you kind of were mostly formed as a person before Facebook came out.
Yes.
Then you're an Oregon Trail generation.
You played Oregon Trail on the Apple IIe in fourth and fifth grade.
Yeah, I had a 2SI. Real good.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Fancy. I could only dream mm-hmm. of having 1 gigabyte.
Dysentery was in our vocabulary much earlier than most generations.
I think a lot of generations don't have dysentery in their vocabulary. Nope.
Not at all. But we learned about it in the Oregon Trail.
Now, would the Oregon Trail generation, could they also be identified as the Saved by the Bell generation?
I think people who watch Saved by the Bell would also fall into this. Yeah. It'd be that or earlier. Sure.
Because I've got a shirt with this cast of Saved by the Bell on it.
Yeah.
And I walk around and people
name
like,
all of the core people on Saved by the Bell.
Are you asking me to do it right now?
Right.
Zach Morris, AC Slater, Screech, Kelly Kapowski, Jesse Spanos, and Principal Belding, and...
You've done enough. That's pretty fucking good.
I'm trying to think of the fashion girl.
That's Kelly Kapowski.
No. She was the cheerleader.
Lisa.
Lisa.
What was her last name?
Unimportant.
Anyway, so what the important distinction of the Oregon Trail generation, Facebook coming out, is the pervasion of social media,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think kids who went through those formative years while social media was so heavy in the zeitgeist, you have a completely different outlook on culture and sociology, how you fit in with other people, how you compare yourself to other people.
Oh, yeah.
What your sense of identity is. All that stuff.
Well, you're putting everything out there, so you're judging.
No, that's the important distinction, is you're putting a lot out there, but you're putting selective things out there.
What you want people to see.
Cherry-picked moments.
Yeah.
So you're looking at other people's cherry-picked moments.
And comparing yourself to their best.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bo Burnham just came out with a movie called Eighth Grade.
Okay.
And Jason thinks it's amazing. I thought it was mediocre. It was just, are you familiar with Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
He's a comedian. Yeah. So imagine like the artsy parts of his stand-up.
See, I don't really know him from a stand-up. I know him from his YouTube days.
Oh, okay. Imagine the artsy parts of his YouTube days, and that's the entire movie. Like, it wasn't delivered well, but it perfectly encapsulated being in eighth grade, and it's like, oh, when did you get Snapchat? Oh, yeah, you know, fourth grade, fifth grade. It's
what
like,
the what? Fuck?
Yeah. And it's,
that's horrifying.
Yeah.
Those fourth graders snapping chats.
Mm-hmm. That, and whatever else they snap. But it's like, it really encapsulates everything about growing up with all the social medias.
Yeah.
And during an interview, Bo Burnham said, they asked how Bo Burnham got so accurate at depicting an eighth grader today. He didn't act in it, he just directed it, but he wrote the script for today's eighth grader, and which isn't the demographic by any mean, but like, this is what eighth grade is like. And he hit it so hard on the head, people are like, how did you do it? He goes, I looked at eighth grade social media. They post everything because all they want to do is be accepted. And so,
are they allowed to? Isn't there an age restriction on Facebook? I imagine they can just lie, but
yeah, I don't know if there is, and if there was, just lie.
Right.
But if you want to know anything about an eighth grader, just check out their social media. They post everything. Like you were saying, with us, like sure, with whatever social medias we're doing, we're cherry picking and putting up our prettiest moments. The younger generations now, whatever comes after the millennials, they're posting everything.
Can you imagine us growing up and having like a video record of all of our shenanigans
like
with
our
friends?
On VHS?
No, on
whatever
the internet
for
perpetuity.
Oh my gosh, no. Like they do today.
Yeah, because they walk around holding the phone.
The camera's always on.
Yeah, and they're talking to it, and they do the live stream stuff. They do the Instagram stories.
They make podcasts.
Idiots.
Oh my gosh, I would be in so much trouble.
Yeah. I wonder if the cops just like scroll through. It's like, I gotta visit this kid.
Kid. They should.
Are kids nowadays kind of pussies though? Do they do illegal things?
Well, no, no, because they're going to get caught because they post everything on Facebook or Zynga or MySpace.
Because there were plenty of things that we did when we were kids that could definitely get you some fines.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I remember I pooped out one time. Me and Trevor, where it was pretty late at night. And we cut out cardboard cats. And like, we really put some effort into these. And we were fairly artistic kids, all right? So these were nice. Some of the better cardboard cats you've ever seen.
Where did you put them?
Going up Reed Road in Escondido.
Yeah.
It's this tall hill that crests over. It's kind of a blind spot. And on one side is like basically a cliff. And on the other side is a home.
Yeah.
We put it right at the crest there. So people would swerve around these things.
And that's supposed to be like a 25-mile-an-hour area, right?
But it never is.
No, people are flying up and down
at like 50.
70. Yeah,
yeah, well, yeah, probably yeah. 70. So there were a couple like people who would swerve, and they went really close to that embankment.
You could have killed somebody.
We could have killed somebody. One person went around them, recognized what they were, and backed over them. Wait a second. I don't know for sure he recognized what they were.
Maybe he thought
they were actual cats.
Yeah. And they're not smart enough to move them. Squishing them. I would do that.
Darwin's been resting for far too long. Yeah. Time for me.
I did the exact same prank two blocks over.
Cardboard cats?
Yeah, on Greenway Rice.
Was this a known thing? Did we not invent this?
I don't think we invented this.
Was this something from a movie?
Well, and the thing is, like, you got to really put the effort into it. And you got to put either brand new dimes, nickels, or aluminum foil where the eyes are.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when the headlights hit it, they're like, oh, those are cat eyes. And then they see the shape. So that's really that's the finest detail that you need to add.
I don't think we did that.
Oh. Because then it's not just shape. Then it's like, oh, it's reflecting back. It's looking at me. But yeah, we would do it on a Greenway Rise.
How fast do you go on that?
Well, it's a residential area, so it's supposed to be 25.
Yeah.
But when you get up to the top, or coming down from the top, there's no houses on either side. So people were flying down 50 miles an hour. And my house was right there. So whenever anybody would come over to spend the night or, you know, video games or whatever it is.
Oh, that's a hill. I know where you I know where you grew up. That's
yeah.
a big hill.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Fly up and down that. And we would just, hey, you know what? Let's put
this
one
out. This is what I'm talking about. Like, if we put on social media that we were setting up dangerous traps on dangerous roads for unsuspecting motorists.
Yeah, it was bad times.
Like, what's the end game there? Like, what are we hoping to elicit? We're
okay,
hoping to elicit someone getting nearly in a car accident.
Yeah, maybe that
was
your
idea of fun. Like, yeah, they'll swerve around and freak out.
No, I had a legitimate reason behind it. I lived on that hill and people drove too fast.
That's how you've rationalized it now as an adult. But 8-year-old Ryan wasn't thinking about that.
No, 11-year-old Ryan was like, hey, I need to get a roller skate so I can add motion to the cat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we did. We got some fishing line and a roller skate.
Had to be a roller skate, not a roller blade.
Right, a roller skate for the stability.
Yeah, right.
And then as the car was, we would wait for a fast car, and then we would just slowly pull it out.
Oh, my God.
There were so many skid marks on the side of the road for a while.
There's a lot of people you almost seriously injured. Almost caused like thousands of dollars of property damage and potentially mm-hmm. loss of life.
But I mean, at the very end of it all, like, I would just pull my skate all the way over and run inside. And
the perfect crime.
There was a cat, I swear. Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't be going so fast and crash into my neighbor's house.
Right. It all kind of worked out.
Yeah.
But they learned their lesson. I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
Our other big one was hiding in the bushes and throwing water balloons at cars.
I had somebody throw a water balloon at the Mustang when I had the top down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did it get you?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, not me. He got the girl sitting in the car next to me.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I chased him down through Escondido for probably 45 minutes.
They were in a car?
They were in another. It was on Cruising Grand. I was going one direction. Yeah, I was just Cruising Grand and this 4Runner.
So for those of you who don't know, Cruising Grand is a Friday night event where people who like old, dangerous cars like to drive slowly down the center street of Escondido.
And there's a bunch of old cars just up and down parked for display. So you can look at like all of the old Chevy Impalas or whatever. So
you could say, hey, look at these primitive pieces of shit.
Look
at how far we've come.
4 mile per gallon vehicles.
I don't value classic vehicles if you haven't picked up on that.
I'm okay with classic cars. There's the right classic car. You just haven't found yours.
I don't like the potential of a steering column ending my life.
Well, that's always a possibility.
With, like, mechanical brakes. Not anymore.
Even in a Prius, that's a possibility. The steering column is still a steering column. And
no.
If it gets hit just right, it's going through your skull.
No, it's like, isn't it offset now? It's like a set of gears and
okay, well, now, so maybe instead of going through your skull, it's going to go through your chest cavity.
It was a
I'm not sure which one's better.
Line to the front axle in those cars.
Yeah, now there's a bunch of pivots. So instead of just a javelin coming at you, it's a grenade.
No.
I'm pretty sure. We're going to have to go crash a Prius and find out.
I'm in.
Okay. So these guys they pulled up next to my Mustang. I had the top down and I thought I was really cool. I was hot shit.
Did you foresee that? Did you see yourself as a participant of Cruising Grand?
No, I went as an observer of Cruising Grand.
Okay.
Yeah. And these guys in a 4Runner pulled up right next to me and I looked over and the guy just,
their bombardier.
Yep.
Opened up
and hit her like dead shoulder, just from over my head, hit her in the shoulder, like the nook of her shoulder and neck.
You chased them?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Because it was like leather interior. I didn't know what was in this water balloon.
Probably.
But I was mad and I was ready for vengeance.
Yeah,
so
and you had a lady to impress.
I absolutely had a lady to impress. I'm going to kick their asses. I don't know how many are in there. But so we chased them around Escondido for about 45 minutes.
And you caught them?
No. Oh. But it was a fun adventure and she dried off in the meantime. But I digress. That story was unnecessary.
This podcast is unnecessary.
Yeah, there we go.
So yeah.
How did we get there?
Because I think when I think nosy people, I think people who peer into other people's lives and what they're trying to do is ground themselves in their own reality somewhat. They're looking to define themselves by external information. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped to social media and I was like, oh, that reminds me of
perfect
the really cool generational distinction of the Oregon Trail generation.
Yeah. What other generations are there?
There's the greatest generation.
No, I mean not of the predetermined generations. Like in your new scale with the Oregon
Trail. Oh, I
don't know.
That's the only one. I feel like millennials get all the talk right now. That's just the whipping boy for the problems of society is that the newest generation is a bunch of self-centered pussies.
Well, that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, when Generation X was brand new, it was, these Xers are ruining everything.
Right. Bunch of drug-using degenerates.
Mm-hmm. And Generation Y, finally, X was able to be like, oh, man, these kids.
Isn't Y after millennials?
What?
Generation Y is the new one, isn't it? It went X.
X, Y, millennial.
Oh.
Didn't it?
No.
Aren't we wise?
No.
I mean, we're unwise.
It went Gen X, millennials, and the new one is Y.
Oh, is it?
We
have this beautiful piece of equipment here that can double check.
I'm
going to
search it on the Google. God, I hope there's not a doodle. I fucking hate
We can talk about that another time.
I just don't understand who's at Google getting how much?
Somebody's getting paid to do that.
To do bad topical art.
Maybe it's computer generated.
What do I even search? Generational names? Generational names?
No, you're going to come up with a bunch of Tylers and...
Here we go. No, it's good. Oh, there's even like an infographic. I'm on thoughtco.com. So late 90s to 2010 is Gen Z, iGen, or Centennials.
After the Millennials?
Yeah. 1980 to 90s is Millennial or Generation Y. And then before that is 13ers or Generation X. Why would they call it 13ers?
So it does go X, Y, but it says Y or Millennial?
Yeah, Millennial or Y is 80s to late 90s.
So my gape, what? Not gape, my scaling,
what?
My, God damn it.
Are you presenting your salad again?
Yeah, maybe. I'm drinking a blended scotch whiskey.
Please
from
stop
Kirkland.
Gaping over there.
It's not just a...
Do you vape out of your gape?
Sometimes. I forgot what I was saying. My gradient, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not just, boom, it's this date to this date. We talked about it just a second ago.
I don't remember anything.
Okay.
Your scale?
Yeah, but it wasn't scale. I don't know why I'm...
Your range?
Yeah, my range.
Other words for scale?
See, I think like I'm getting stupider.
You're getting older.
Does older mean stupider?
Usually.
Because even while we were on the phone the other night, I was having a hard time thinking of a simple word. Although I was drinking a lot that night, so.
You had a lot of salads?
Yeah. I had like 4 salads that night.
Jesus.
Big salads. Like double salads.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do millennials want to be called millennials?
No, I think it's pejorative through and through. It's always negative. And I resent being lumped into it. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's why you're a Y. And not a millennial, right?
I think sometimes there's generational distinctions that you can draw. Culture does change, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a set of people who reflect that change, but not everyone in that is going to align to it 100%.
Well, and that's why there's a gradient between the...
There it is.
That was the word.
You got back.
A gradient between the two generations.
You've returned.
So it's like the Y and the millennials.
Stop doing that.
Stop doing that. I'm making a Venn diagram with my fingers.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's also like a weird gang sign.
If you do this, it's a Vesica Pisces.
If you say so.
If you connect the top two fingers.
Did I do it?
Do you know your ancient shapes?
No. Nor do I really care about them. Why do I need to know ancient shapes when I'm... Oh, I see.
It's one of the one of the oldest shapes. Hey, there's a googly eye on the bottom of this scotch bottle.
Get out!
It's right here.
What do I want to drink?
Have another salad. Another sound.
I feel like the salads are taking me away from quality.
I don't know if it's... I think the generational thing is an important component when talking about this. And I don't know if
that... Nosy people?
Or my take on nosy people and why I'm so defensive about it. Is the whole social media thing... I don't like people knowing what I'm doing. And it's not that I'm doing anything bad. Maybe it's a vulnerability thing.
But isn't that the beauty of social media? You don't have to put everything you're doing on?
Right. I just think they're related.
Oh, okay.
People snooping. They get nosy. Like, what were you up to? I didn't see that. I don't know about you. I think people these days, they frame their conceptions of other people using different tools than when we grew up.
Which is a majority of social media now.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's changed the dating world.
See, I've been with my wife for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I never did online dating.
Well, I mean, not even online dating, just you meet somebody, you
first
go
thing
home,
you do is creep.
Is yeah, you go, you find their Facebook, you find their their Twitter, their Instagram, their any number of social medias that are out there. Their Tumblr, I can't even name all the social medias. There's
is
so
Tumblr
many.
Tumblr social media?
Isn't it? I don't know.
I thought it was an image board.
You can have your image board of your life.
Okay, so it's kind of like an Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like a feed.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
and they have the same like follower mechanic?
I don't know. I don't use Tumblr.
Okay.
I just know that I looked at it like twice.
I only know Tumblr as like the SJW hive. So I've strayed from it.
I don't know what that is.
SJWs?
Yeah.
It's my least favorite kind of person. It's a social justice warrior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard it referred to as an SJW.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty common...
I mean, it might be. It's just something that I'm unaware of.
But you're aware of social justice warriors.
Yeah. I just... Okay. I mean, not in depth.
They want you to behave the way that they want you to behave.
Well, everybody does.
And they're very serious about it. Well, but they're also, everyone wants that, but they don't try and enforce it.
They're also the type of people who get offended for other people, right?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the whole virtue signaling thing.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
Well, I think it's actually pretty related to what we're talking about. I think people have a lack of true identity now. And they're looking for these other constructs to prop up their, like, shape of themselves.
Right, but if somebody's going to try to be like, oh, well, that's offensive to Ryan. Like, not that I have anything to be offended about.
Well, they never do it on a person basis.
Right, but,
so
I mean, if I'm going
to
be...
to whatever group you associate with.
The SJWs.
That's offensive to DJs.
Okay.
You should not say that. It's hate speech.
Sure, but...
It's always a group.
Like, if I'm a DJ and that doesn't offend me, like, are you saying that I'm not smart enough to even identify that I should be offended by your opinion of their opinion? Like, that group of people piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all there was to that.
Oh.
No, like, that's it. Like, boom, done. They piss me off.
Yeah.
And as soon as I identify somebody as that, they are no longer in my life.
Everything comes back to, like, the societal hierarchy,
mm-hmm.
and where you are in that. And I think because of things like social media, I've given this rant before on another podcast, but the old metric.
Which podcast? Were you a guest?
No.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I was a recurring host with 100% attendance.
Oh, okay.
The old metric of where you were in the hierarchy was pretty easy to ascertain because you would look at your neighbors and they would have very similar circumstances. Most people were, like, say, farmers or related tradesmen, and you would look at the other people around you who were experiencing the same weather, the same conditions, the same economy, the same external threats,
mm-hmm.
the same culture, all that stuff, and you'd be able to say, like, I'm doing better or worse compared to him.
My apple tree is getting more apples, and his apple tree is withering
right.
away.
Right. And now, with social media, you're comparing yourself, instead of to your neighbor, to cherry-pick moments from people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
whose circumstances are completely different. And I think virtue signaling has been like an outlet of that, where you're trying to scratch for where you are in the world and define your worth. And it's getting harder and harder to cement yourself as a person of value on an online space. So the way you do that is you go after, you play the role of the hero. And every hero needs to save someone, so you invent someone who needs to be saved.
Okay.
So you construct this victim-victimizer narrative around all kinds of groups, and you go out there and you beat drums on behalf of those people, whether they need it or not.
Mm. And then you look better because you're saving them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the stupidity behind it. I still think it's ridiculous.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But that... was all stemmed off of, you know, finding everybody's social medias.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, what SJW?
Yeah, social justice warrior. Yeah. This is their lives. They go on the internet and they fight for justice. They're a warrior for justice.
For social justice.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's the value they're contributing to society.
I wonder if there's a chink in their armor somewhere where we can just...
That's a very racist, pejorative term.
Sorry.
You just used... And the SJWs are going to attack you.
Well, I mean, they're not going to attack me. They're going to defend somebody else.
By attacking.
Yeah. I guess, God. Those people piss me off.
They're very much on the offensive.
They are nosy people. Mind your own damn business. Right? Like, it's not that hard.
Well, the whole classifying people by groups thing is very interesting because we've gotten past that a long time ago. It made sense early on. Before social media,
mm-hmm.
when you had your tribe and there was some kind of common identity to that tribe.
You all lived on the same street.
Yeah.
Or you were all in the same classroom.
Right. You had...
Went to the same high school.
Similar circumstances, and that would manifest in part in your personality and worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You make your opinions about the outside world based on the context that you grew up in. So it would kind of shape the person a little bit. That's becoming kind of less and less so with the internet. People are able to find these kind of niche groups. Like a brony would not exist before social media, because you would not find enough other bronies in your community,
right?
Or yeah, they would not feel safe enough.
Yeah.
In
like, you didn't have an outlet to go and secretly, yeah, privately search, be like, is there anybody else who's interested in this like I am?
Yeah. I'm a 30-year-old man who's unhealthily into a cartoon that was designed for 7-year-old women. Does mm-hmm. anyone want to be an enthusiast with me?
And dress up.
Right. Potentially dress up.
Yeah.
That would be...
That was not a thing
before
social media.
That would be difficult to find. Yeah. But now, there's these online outlets where you don't have to, because of the power of anonymity, you don't have to feel subconscious about your interesting interests. And you can go find these groups. So all these little, like, group identities have started to arise.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, we're going backwards. So before, we had, like, your tribe and your city, and it made sense to have some sense of group identity. And then once we had larger civilizations and things began to mix, we moved past that. That's like John Locke, Nature of Man. We got these groups so finite that it became just the individual.
Mm. Okay, but I was about to argue that if you're looking at like the Venn diagram of sociability, like the circles are getting bigger and overlapping so much more. Like when we're talking about your tribe was only... I got to make some sig-, you know, was this big. And maybe a couple of the guys over here were also part of this tribe over here.
Mm-hmm.
But now because of the internet, this is getting, everybody's getting larger. And so now it's, instead of the few have lots of circles, now a lot of people have a lot of circles.
So you're saying that people are manifesting more aspects of their personality now because of the internet?
I think so.
I think it's the opposite. I think people are finding a more narrow identity to follow. They go onto these boards and these spaces online that are inherently niche,
but that they couldn't get to before.
Right.
So because
it was something too weirdly specific.
Right. But now they can find it, then now they can spread out and express more of themselves, right?
Well, I think they commit to then that.
I think we're saying similar things from different angles.
Maybe.
You don't think so?
In the past, you kind of had to wear a lot of masks, a lot of social hats,
yes,
as it were. You had to be able to relate to all these other people in your communities. And now that a lot of this stuff is online, that's kind of your social bubble. Is instead of a healthy melting pot of different personalities, it's all the same people who are there for your very, very niche community
that you've searched out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're expressing like a more narrow bandwidth of society when you're in these spaces.
And we couldn't do that before. We couldn't... Oh, you ready for a term that a lot of people are not going to understand right now? You couldn't just dial 411 and ask for some bronies.
People in the Oregon Trail Generation, you know what we're talking about.
Right.
Remember collect calls in 411?
Woo! Principal Belding!
Yep. Remember phones with cords?
Oh my gosh.
And then phones didn't have cords?
Whoa. It changed the world. And then you couldn't find your phone?
Then you could flash call your buddies?
The first three-way call?
Yeah.
And then not being able to be on the phone and AOL Instant Messenger at the same time?
Well, for me, it was not being able to be on the phone and Warcraft 2 at the same time.
I never got into that. See? We had
internet games from the very beginning. Yeah. What the fuck is flying around in your car?
I think it's a June bug-ish.
It's definitely not a June bug.
Oh, it might be a hornet.
That thing has like tendrils.
It could be a hornet.
Oh, good.
Do we need to stop recording and kill this? This hornet is... got me concerned.
Yeah.
It's the first one I've seen since I moved into this man cave 2 years ago.
Well, do you want to wrap this one up?
We can.
Okay.
So, and kill this thing?
Yeah, we're gonna kill this episode, and then we're going to kill this hornet.
I'm going to murder it.
So that was that.
Thank you all for listening.
I hope...
Right? Should we thank people?
Or
tell them to mind their own damn business because they're being nosy.
This is just for us to bullshit and think about things.
Yeah, if you like it, then you like it. If you don't listen to the next unnecessary episode.
I'm glad I got that the generational thing off my chest.
That was solid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's, wait, I'm supposed to pull up a song, right?
Yeah.
I'm not used to having so much responsibility. Hold on.
You have 100% of the responsibility here. All I have to do is say, hey, that was unnecessary. Bug. Oh my God.
necessary.
That can't be a thing.